Episode 32 of The Exit Strategy. We welcome to the show Thomas Gross, the president, founder, and CEO of Sojadev. Sojadev helps companies secure tax incentives and grants, along with financing for technology and industrial companies. But without further ado, let's hear that count.
1, 2, 3, 4.
You're listening to The Exit Strategy, a podcast that inspires open discussions about financial news and technology today. My name, Marcus Megarian, a recovering SaaS vendor, joined by my co-hosts, Ralph DeFiore and Swadek Mazumdar. And we're sitting down with startup founders, technology experts. Now let's begin. We're happy that we have Thomas today. He lives here in Paris with me. We don't live in the same apartment, but we both live and work out of the city. Thomas and I went to the same business school, and we came in touch through a mutual friend who, you know, regarding, we were discussing things about how to make structures tax efficient and just how to make companies benefit from government-sponsored programs and things that actually make France one of the greatest places for you to actually acquire a company and to even consider developing a business over here. Because when you mix in the high level of education and the high talent pool and the fact that the government provides these R&D and other kinds of funding opportunities for corporations that either acquire in France or even establish themselves and try to grow organically. But Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. We'd love to hear, introduce yourself. Give us a little background on who you are and a little bit about Sojadev.
Okay, good. Well, it's a pleasure to be here with you. Hopefully my English will be understandable enough so that you can all hear and understand what I have to say. I have a background in computer science, and then I did an MBA in the same school as Marcus in France, and right after that, I decided to start a company. It was a software company that we built in the end of '90s. I did that for 2 to 3 years, and then we had a technological crisis in Europe, and so I went bankrupt. And after that, I decided to during my first that first venture. I started to try to find all the grants and subsidies that we could find in France to help us invest in R&D, people, go abroad, etc., etc. And I had a tremendous experience in that. And so at the end of my first business, some of my friends asked me to help them to try to get all those grants. And so so I started to help my friends to do that, and then I met my current partner, Charles, with whom we started another business, a consulting company that we called the Sojadev, and we started that a bit more than 20 years ago now. And our job at Sojadev is really to help businesses to gather all the grants that they can gather to help them accelerate their development. We have three main areas of subsidies. The biggest part is really R&D and innovations, grants and subsidies. We have another axe toward international development. So French companies that want to invest abroad, want to find the partners, to find clients, to participate in trade shows abroad, we can find grants to help them during those activities. And the last main area is really investment grants. When a company wants to invest in France, build a plant, invest in people, then you also, depending on the region where you want to invest, you can also get a lot of grants to help you do those kind of investments. Okay, and so 20 years since the beginning, we're now 100 persons in France. We also have a subsidiary in Brazil, and we also have integrated another consulting company, a big one, 2 years ago, and now we have started activities in the US, in Belgium, in Spain, in Italy, in Germany also, to do all those activities to other companies.
So the French government really I mean, I didn't even realize that they help companies here even with funding when they want to expand to the United States, conferences,
Yes,
meeting
exactly.
people, and all those
Yep.
things. So what do you, now that you have this Biden administration that is providing this new IRA thing, it's like the inflation what's it
Reduction
called?
Act. Yeah.
Reduction Act, the
Inflation
Inflation
Reduction
Reduction.
Act. Yeah.
How does France work on that? Or how do they benefit?
Yes, the Biden administration, they started the IRA, Inflation Reduction Act, during 2022, and that was a response to try to accelerate and to motivate companies to invest in the US. So it's a lot of tax incentives and grants and subsidies. And in France, in Europe at first, we had a recovery plan that has been set up by Europe in 2019, 2020 to fight against all the COVID effects, et cetera, and we have now in France a France 2030 plan, with a bit less. Of course, the amounts are not as high as the IRA plan in the US, which is around $400 billion. But in France, that France 2030 plan is a bit more than 50 billion euros, which is, if you take a look at the scale of France versus the US, it's not as similar, but it's still a very it's an impressive amount to help companies to invest in France. And so we have that in France, and we also, and the European community is also thinking about a plan to compete with the IRA in the US, and to help companies to continue to invest in Europe rather than in the US.
Does that accelerate your business or?
It is an acceleration of business, yes, because all those grants. Well, the amounts are extensive, and there's a lot of things to help companies, because when you have a business that you want to develop in Europe, in France, or in Europe, I mean, it's and even in the US, it's a big thing. I mean, you know that you have the grant, but it's a hard thing to get the grants. You need to identify all the criteria. You need to find the office where to go to, and you have to file the application, et cetera, et cetera. It takes a lot of time. And when you're having your business to develop, I mean, you need to give your time to the business.
That's why we call social dev.
That's why we can help you, yes.
Thomas, it sounds like the Inflation Reduction Act, which you refer to as IRA, is not reducing inflation. It sounds like it's stimulating other countries to also support businesses and spend. It sounds like a lot of people already think it's misnamed, but this further supports that misnaming of the act.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the first thing with the Inflation Reduction Act, well, true, it's not competing against inflation. It's really trying to attract a lot of businesses in the US by relocating a lot of manufacturing activities back there, and trying to reduce all the how to increase renewable energy use, et cetera, And so, of course, well, the other countries, they want to compete because they don't want to see all their manufacturing activities leave Europe, for example, to go to the US. And we have a big movement right now, and especially in France, to try to reinforce our manufacturing power. So it's a big development thing.
I mean,
Thomas,
given
by the way, go ahead, Marcus. I was going to ask him
I
something.
was going to ask, because like given that France is willing to sponsor so much, I mean, including international, I mean, why don't we see more French companies acquiring US organizations? Using these government-sponsored programs.
Well, these programs, they're not aimed at acquiring foreign companies. It's more aimed at really investing abroad when it's not investing abroad. It's really exporting products and businesses abroad. So it's really exporting French state of the art, etc., etc. You know.
Yeah.
So it's not dedicated to acquire companies. Well, that's a first, but it's really here to help you invest in France. So
yes.
you can, that's it, basically.
So Thomas, by the way, belated happy birthday. You also share the birthday week with our great Marcus Megarian, who just, I think, celebrated. He's what, 40? You're 42 now, Marcus?
44.
Oh my God, he's an old soul. Anyway, but listen, Thomas, listening to this, different grants you're talking about, there is something that government of Germany does. It's called the German Accelerator, a group that I'm involved with. They bring companies here every year. I think they do two cohorts. A spring and a winter cohort. They get like 10, 12 companies that's initially funded in Germany. Then they bring them here and they go through an acceleration program for 3 months. And then they get funded by US entities. And some of those companies are very successful. One, it's called Happy Bonds. It's in the dog pet food industry. And I've, you know, I've been seeing them for the last 2 years. They're doing pretty okay, you know. So, that's a great blueprint. I was wondering if France or your organization could set up something in conjunction with someone here or independently, because that has been very successful.
Yes, why not? I was not aware of those programs that Germany has developed, but France has developed a lot of programs to help startups, companies to develop and to accelerate. It's all the French Tech program, and since this has been set up, it was I don't remember, it was maybe 5 years ago or something like that. We have improved a lot the number of unicorns in France and other big development of startups expanding also in the US and being funded by US venture capitalists or private equity firms. So it's working very well in France, yes.
That's great. Because I know they have the German Accelerator. You can look it up. I think it's germanaccelerator.com. They have two outfits now, one in New York, one in the Valley. And so the companies visit both locations and they go through the acceleration program. And I've been watching them for the last maybe 3 years, and I've seen the quality improve every cohort from the quality of the companies that come here, as well as the funding that has improved. It used to be $1 or $2 million. Now it's $5 or $10 million. So that has really improved. So, and again, they obviously serve the German or the Euro markets, but more or less, once they get visible in the U.S., it takes on, you know, for obviously a different dynamics.
Yeah, and the French Tech program that I have spoken before, it's really helping also because nowadays France has become the second country in Europe, just behind the UK for VC investment. So we attract a lot more VC and private equity investment than Germany, for example. And France is the first European country to attract foreign investment. So we have a lot of criteria, I think, to compete with Germany.
No, that's great.
Is there a correlation as to why? What is the main reason?
To what, sorry?
To why Americans or foreigners are investing in France more than a place like Germany, or let's say.
Well, compared to Germany, I don't know, but I think at first, well, you have the location. France is ideally based in Europe. You can tackle any European countries from France. Also, if you are involved in manufacturing activities, you get access to seaports, to airports, with the ground. Also, you can get everywhere. That's for location. You have a beautiful landscape also, and very good food, which we can help if you want to if you want to make an investment and if you want to get to visit your investment. So that's also a good point. And apart from that, you said it earlier, but compared to the US, of course, and with all the grants that we have also in France compared to Germany or other countries, you have a salary base that is lower than in the US, and which is very interesting compared to other European countries. And as you said earlier,
Given these advantages, I mean, you have the tax incentives, you have the grants. For a foreigner, it doesn't have to be American, it could be German, Japanese, Chinese, Indian. What is the most popular program for a foreigner to consider between
the first
research
one,
tax, innovative, regional grants, et cetera, et cetera?
Well, you have two things that are very interesting depending on your company. If you launch a startup in France, you will be very interested by the Young Innovative Company status, because it will help you reduce your social charges. So it's a deduction that you can gain every month. So it's very interesting for that. But if it's not a startup that you're launching, then one of the most interesting grants is really the research tax credit, because it's quite high. It's 30% of the amount of your expenses. Of course, it is deducted from your income tax, but if the amount is over your income tax, then you get a refund by the French government. So it's a grant that you receive at the end of the year, depending on the amount of your R&D expenses. And this is really one of the highest resource tax credit in the world today. So it's really interesting.
I mean, I could imagine you have a lot of college grads here that probably need jobs, right? You want incentives, they'll still pay their taxes in the end.
Yes, after a few years, of course.
I imagine things like regional grants, it's something very different from like a young innovative company status, because a regional grant, I know like in the state of New York was offering tax-free incentives for the first 50,000 companies that would establish some kind of manufacturing in the state. So I imagine it's something like that. Like if you go like to the Rhone Valley or the Savoie region or like Brittany, each one will have a different thing, and they probably offer it for different verticals and sectors at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. Those grants will really depend on the region that you will want to settle in. Of course, if you go to Brittany, as you were mentioning, in Brittany, you will find a lot of grants if you invest in sea-related activities. So you want to develop, I don't know, like cosmetic products with alga or other thing like that. You will find that through close to Brittany, all the sea, etc. If you want to settle an industry or manufacturing activity, then if you go to the north of France or Auvergne-Rhône-Alpes, close to Lyon, etc., you will find also some grants for that. So with those grants, it really depends on where you want to settle in, and depending on your business, and then you will try to see what the region want to attract as for business.
No, I visited like a bunch of cities around Lyon and Grenoble, so a lot of companies, a lot more than I was expecting. I always think it's like the northern parts of the country that are going to have the most industrious area, but in France it's quite the opposite. More factories in the southeast.
I think it really meant it's not the same businesses. In the north of France, you had a lot of textile industries, And also a lot of chemical industries. You also have a lot of chemicals and industries and all about the microprocessors in the Grenoble region. In the and well, it depends. You have a lot of industries throughout France, north, east, west, etc., etc. Yes, it's not localized, very localized in France.
So walk me through a case. Ralph, if you wanted to say something.
Yeah, Thomas, what trends do you see now? For instance, do you see many companies coming into France, taking advantage of these programs that are in manufacturing or in artificial intelligence? Or do you see mostly giant companies like Samsung or Sony or some other large company coming? What can you tell us about how these programs are helping France, and what types of companies are coming in?
Yeah, I would say that for the last 20 or 30 years in France, we lost a lot I would say blue collars. You know, we lost a lot of factories, etc., etc., going to China or Eastern Europe. And so to counter that, we attracted a lot of white collar activities. So we had a lot of R&D labs who settled in France, like Huawei, like Facebook, like Google Labs, etc., etc., that have settled in France. So we attract a lot of very high competencies in France, so a lot of R&D labs, yes. And now with the COVID, etc., France have seen that we need to have manufacturing activities and critical manufacturing activities in France, and so we are trying to relocate with all these recovery plans and investment plans. But before that, we were really good at attracting R&D because of our very high education, because of our wages way lower than in the US. And also because our engineers in France and our engineers, they are really autonomous. So they can work by themselves, competing with a team of 4 or 5 person in the US. So all that all put together, and it was a very good house for R&D activities. And we have a lot of R&D centers in Europe. In France, basically, yes.
How long does that tax credit last? I mean, is it a one-year tax credit, or is it over a period of time?
No, it's you can claim it 1 year after the other. It's really based on the R&D expenses that you invest every year. So each year you can claim for the research tax credit for the former year. It's working since 40 years. We are celebrating the 40th birthday of the French research tax credit today.
And versus the US, it's from what I read, it's a much better program.
Yes, it's yes, because as I said, it's 30% of the volume of the amount of your R&D expenses. While in the US, while you have two layers, you have the federal tax credit, and you can have, depending on the state where you are, you can have complementary tax credits. But the federal tax credit depends on the variation of your R&D expenses over the years, and a mean amount would be between 6 to 15% of your R&D expenses. Okay, so it's lower, and you can use it against your income tax. But if your tax credit is higher than the income tax, then you can carry it forward. As in France, you can get reimbursed. So it's a It's really better. It works better than the US.
So you
Is
have
it
here? I was looking over your presentation here. You have this is a case study, right? The public funding optimization. So
exactly.
In this case study, you have 8 engineers that work full time. They're going to benefit from 70% of the time on the R&D. I guess it's 70% deduction, right? Or the 30% rebate.
No. This is just to say I have my engineers, and on the 100% time that they work, 70% of their time is eligible R&D, because you know you will have your R&D criteria. So it's 70% of their time working on eligible project for the research tax credit, and 30% are on other tasks like meetings, preparation, or whatever, you know.
I see what you're saying. They allocate 70% of their time into that service. And then this is incredible. The median salary is 36,000.
Like, yes, that would be for beginners, really.
Entry level. And then it has to be within the computer, so hardware, software, services.
Yes, because in the French resource tax credit, you can also take into account the amortization of the equipment that you use for the R&D work, which is not possible in the US.
So once you get all that, you basically, you're assuming here the total expenses are around $550,000 to operate an annual basis, correct?
Yes, correct.
So this will be an example like company ABC, let's say it's Apple, wants to develop the iPhone. It doesn't exist yet.
Sure.
And then they hire 8 guys that are students, that are engineers. The total expense on average to have some kind of development in France would be under $1 million, which is quite incredible. But with that, all the breaks, they could deduct upwards of $165,000 from that.
Yes.
Meaning that it's like 380,000 or close to 400,000.
Of what?
I mean, just, I'm looking at the sheet here. It's, you have.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. 390,000, something like that, of total, so the remaining costs.
This would be if some American company decides to say, hey, we want to develop an R&D office out of France.
Yeah.
And then this is how we could benefit from it. But do they do they get the rebate without making a profit?
Exactly.
Oh, they
did not make any profit.
If it's just the cost, the government will reimburse you 30% of the, that's incredible.
Yes, exactly. That's the beauty of the French tax credit. It's if you don't have income tax to pay, then it's a direct refund from the French government.
They still give you the money even if you don't make.
Yep.
Ralph, does that work like that in the United States? If you don't make the money, they'll still give you the refund.
No,
it doesn't happen in the United States. That's France always sounds better and better the more I live here, because it's always like some kind of perk. Like the health insurance thing is, I'm loving it. But so, I mean, what would you say to an American company that is, they're kind of hesitant? I mean, they have all these benefits. You have a high education pool here. People speak pretty good English. I mean, I have no problem in Paris. I know if I go to places like, Eastern France, like, you have to speak the language. But within metropolitan cities, the majority of people speak English, no problem. I mean, what would you say? Like, if you had to speak to anyone that we from the United States.
Well, it's difficult because as we saw, we have a lot of very very good criteria. So I would say for a U.S. company that want to go abroad and that want to settle in Europe, in France we have I think we have the best incentives. From, of course, grants and subsidies that are higher than any other country in Europe, but also with the fantastic task force that we can have, people and very good persons to work for the company and to develop the companies, and then with our great location here, to tackle the rest of Europe and to become a leader in Europe, it's from France is the best way to do it.
And good food also, right? That's what you said.
Good food, good wine.
But Thomas, thanks so much for your time today. It was a fantastic opportunity to speak to you. That was episode 32 of The Exit Strategy. Please like, share, and subscribe.